Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Buck Keeley, who's a master gardener, and we're going to be talking about the things you need to know about gardening. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, I don't need to know about gardening. I buy my food at the local grocery store. But I'd like to suggest that there may come a time when you're not going to be able to buy your food at the local grocery store. And if that happens, then what will you do to protect yourself and your family? And basically, I believe we should begin learning all of these things. I think we should make our preparations now. I believe there is a very real threat of an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States. Listen to what the people in North Korea are saying. Understand that North Korea is a surrogate of communist China. We never refer to it as communist China, but it is a communist country, and we've done everything we could to build up that communist country, and China is pretending that, oh, we certainly don't have anything to do with what North Korea is doing, and basically, of course, we certainly support the Americans and what they're doing, and we feel that the North Koreans are acting irresponsibly, but it's all talk and rhetoric. Ladies and gentlemen, do you honestly believe that North Korea, that can't even feed itself, could create intercontinental ballistic missiles, which they have? Do you think that they've really been able to enrich their certainly uranium and build a nuclear bomb and build an electromagnetic pulse bomb, which they have? That they've done that by themselves? And of course they have it. They're a surrogate from communist China. And I think we're in for some very, very difficult times. Listen to what the North Koreans are saying and ask yourself, how would I certainly be able to feed myself and my family if suddenly we didn't have electricity, suddenly we couldn't go down to the food store? And the anticipation is that within 6 to 12 months of an EMP attack on the United States, as many as 90% of our population would be dead because they wouldn't have anything to eat, they wouldn't have water. Buck Keeley, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure being with you.
Well, I want you to tell our listeners certainly what they ought to be doing today as far as growing their food is concerned. Basically, now, should they have most of their things in, or is it certainly we still should be waiting for some time?
Well, it depends where they're at in the country. That most areas of the country now have growing seasons available to them for plants. In the more northern areas, there's the cold weather plants, such as your radishes, your lettuces, and your cauliflowers and broccoli and things like that that like the cold weather that don't like the warm weather. And most of the areas of the country can go in except for the extreme north. In the central part of the United States, you ought to be getting ready with your plants in your greenhouses or your starters in the house to go out the first week after the last known frost. So your tomatoes and peppers in the central states ought to be already in your greenhouse, if not get started immediately, so that you'll have them ready to go out. Your tomato plants about 6 weeks before last known frost date, you need to have them in your potting soil and sprouting them out, and peppers 8 weeks out. So those kind of things need to be done. And if you're in the southern zones, you're already putting out your tomato plants, your pepper plants, and most of all your other seasonal crops. So most parts of the country could be doing things in gardening right now.
Well, should we be putting out our squash? What about our winter squash? Should that be in the ground?
The winter squash and summer squash should go in as soon after first frost as you can. Your winter squash will take much longer growing season, 60 to 80 days. Your summer squash will be much shorter, 30 to 45 days to produce fruit. So both of those going in immediately after last known frost. And in the central parts of the country, you're getting close to that. Southern parts of the country, you're there right now, and you need to be putting in your squash plants.
All right, fine. Well, now, Chris, one of the problems we have is snails, and we'll be talking about that when we get back here. But if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Buck Keeley, a master gardener. We're talking about what you need to know about your garden, and basically I'm asking about snails. And basically Buck was saying that you could spray with a soap solution, but you'd want to add some sort of an oil to it so that it would actually stick to the plant. And then, of course, he suggests a tray with some beer in it, because the snails are attracted to that. The Buck is very, very concerned about the snail traps and the snail, sluggo and these other products that supposedly we're told are completely safe. But of course, if they're going to kill the snails, why would we think they'd be completely safe as far as human beings are concerned? So basically, if you want to just pick up a little on this idea of using a spray, certainly you think that Ivory soap is as good as anything?
Yeah, the Ivory soap is a good natural soap. It doesn't have any artificial ingredients. It doesn't have any perfumes in it. And so it makes a good soap. And what I use is I use the bar soap, and I peel off with a potato peeler, or I put in my processor, food processor that I keep for my garden, a chunk of it, and break it up and put a little water in it, and then a little oil, and then I cut it with water so it's liquid enough that I can spray it in a squirt bottle. It's not good just for those kind of things. It's also good for any kind of bug problem you have. To deal with bugs, you spray it onto your plant, and when you do that, it covers the eggs of the plant so they can't hatch, and it covers the plant, the insect that's on your plant, so they can't breed. And so it's a good way of dealing with all types of insects as well as with your slugs.
Now, what about the, you said oil. What sort of oil would this be? A vegetable oil of some sort? What sort of oil would you use?
Yeah, well, we keep olive oil around our place. So I use olive oil, but any vegetable oil would do. Just make sure you're not using a petroleum-based oil. You don't want to put anything petroleum-based in your garden. And so that's the way I would deal with it, is just, you know, any household oil that you use to cook with.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, if you have a question for Buck, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And so they basically, hopefully, most people have got the compost certainly all made. They've got this into their garden, working into the soil. And basically, this is time now to get all of our things in. Now, basically, we're going to plant seeds. Do you plant one seed at a time, or do you plant two or three seeds in each little area where you're planting a seed?
Well, it depends what you're planting. If you're doing things like onions and radishes, those kind of things where you're going to be sowing directly into the ground, rows, you're going to by nature, because they're such small seeds, you're going to oversow into it, and then you'll come back and you'll thin them back out later. And so those kind of things, you try to put them as evenly as you can into your little trench, and then cover them up, and you come back and thin them to about 4 inches, 3 inches apart, depending on what you're planting. If you're doing hill planting, like with your summer squash or your winter squash, then I typically put in three seeds on the hill and give adequate growing area between the hills, depending on what kind of squash you're planting. The same way with melons, I typically put three seeds in the hill, and I do that for a couple reasons. Number one, if you do have a failure to germinate, you still have, you know, the other two seeds, and if you do have complete germination, then you have plenty of greenery for the melons to support, shade for the other melons as they grow in the squash. So three is what I always do. There's probably other gardeners who use different things, but that three is my magic number for hill planting. Things like tomatoes, one in a seed pot, peppers, one in a seed pot, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, one in a sowing is what I typically do, on about a foot distance on those. So it kind of depends what you're planting. If you're row planting, you're going to overseed, and if you're planting individual plants, then you'll plant just one seed. And if you have a failure, you'll know within plenty of time to re-sow in that same place.
Well, now, basically, if you're planting squash, Hubbard squash, something like that, we're, of course, using planter boxes that are about 28 inches long, something like that. Would you certainly put one at either end of the box? How would you do that? Would you put them in the middle? And how far apart should the squash be?
But you want to remember, anytime you're using planters for growing, if you're using container growing to provide enough soil and nutrients for what you're supporting. Hubbard squash puts on a large plant. They have large broad leaves. They put on large fruit and multiple fruit. And so one of the considerations you want to keep in mind as you're planting in your containers is, how much soil do I have so I can get sufficient water without drowning the roots to the plant? And also, how much soil do I have so I can get adequate nutrients to the roots to feed the plant? So those two things have to be taken in consideration. So not knowing your gardening situation, I would not plant more than one seed in what would be equivalent to 5 gallons of soil. And that would give you plenty of soil to be able to water it deeply and hold the water for that plant to, through the day, take into the plant. And when you fertilize, to have plenty of soil for that fertilizer to go into to meet those roots. So that would be a rule of thumb I would use on any of the large plants, any of your winter squash, summer squash, that I would look at a minimum of 5 gallons of soil per plant seed.
Well, now, what about, say, with a cantaloupe? Would that be the same thing with cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe, watermelon, and any large broadleaf plant that produces a large fruit, you have to be able to have adequate reserves of water nutrients for that plant to grow. And what will happen if it doesn't have enough soil for that is the plant will flourish when it first takes off, and it'll develop a very tight root system in the container where it'll take all the soil and displace it with roots. And then when you put water in, immediately that water goes to the roots and it'll drown the plant. So make sure you have adequate soil to support whatever plant you're planting. If you're planting something like a cabbage plant, you have one spike root that goes down and then hair roots off of that. And it takes less soil to support that plant. If you look at a cabbage, what it produces versus a Hubbard squash in the foliage it produces and the amount of fruit, give you an idea of the amount of reserves you need for water and nutrients into the plant. And so you want to take that in consideration, the size of plant you're planting versus the amount of soil that it needs.
Well, now, basically, when you're putting the seeds in the ground, should you certainly put some fertilizer down around the base of the where you're planting the seeds, or would you wait until these planted begin to come up and then perhaps add fertilizer to the ground around the stem?
Well, my rule of thumb on fertilization is any short-time crop, such as radishes or lettuce, I don't fertilize because I keep a good composted soil and I don't worry about the nutrients, because it's a very short-lived plant. Any plant that has a long life, has longevity to it, such as a tomato plant or a Brussels sprout plant or peas or beans, something that produces a large foliage with a lot of fruit on it, when I plant the seeds, I put a little organic fertilizer down. I cover that up with about an inch of soil that I put my seeds in, and then I fertilize that plant once that it comes out of the ground about 2 inches tall. And then I don't fertilize again that plant until it starts to put on bloom. And as long as it's in production, every week or two, I'll put a little fertilizer on it just to help it have the nutrient boost to give an adequate amount of nutrients so that you get the best crop and harvest that you can.
And then what do? You sprinkle the fertilizer around the stem and then water it down?
Yeah, for dry fertilization, it's a slow release when you do that. So over a period of a couple of 3 weeks, it dissolves and goes into the soil and into the roots and into the plant. If you're doing liquid fertilization, such as if you're making bunny tea or worm poo tea, that's an immediate application. You put that onto the plant, and it doesn't degrade as it goes down to the roots and then into the roots. It's immediately digestible by the plant. And so you'll get an immediate but short-term effect from that. And oftentimes I use a combination of both of those, that particularly for tomatoes and peppers. That I'll use the dry fertilizer that I put down about every 2 weeks, and then about once a week I'll come in, particularly during production time when you're putting on fruit, I'll come in with a worm tea or a bunny tea, depending on what I have readily available. Either one of those work well, or even a compost tea is a good substitute. And I'll do that about once a week, and what that does is it immediately goes into the roots and into the plant, and the fruit that it's producing will be a larger fruit. And it'll have a longer life on the plant because it's not stressing the plant to produce that fruit.
Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment for Buck, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Buck, how can people reach you? How can they get in touch with your organization?
Well, the best way to get a hold of us is, if you have internet access, is to go to your web browser and type in the address bar, seedcatalog.com. seedcatalog.com, and that'll take you to our website. There's many articles there you can read, and click on Shop for Seeds. That'll take you into the store, and there you'll find all of our resources for planting as well as the seeds to purchase. If you don't have internet access, we do have a toll-free number. You can find us at 1-888-866-9132. That's 1-888-866-9132, and you'll reach us here at Seed Catalog. And just a reminder, this is growing season for us. We are busy, and we are a small family-owned entity. So if you get our voicemail, we will call you back, but be patient with us. This is a long time of the year for us, for ours.
Well, basically, I noticed I tried to get onto your website this last week and had some problems. Have you got that straightened out now?
Yes, but we got sabotaged last year and again this year by some of our competitors, where they have been attacking us with denial of service attacks, as well as malicious code that they've been trying to put on their website. We've been fighting this for 2 years. That's the price you pay for success. But yes, we're back up and running. We've had our IT department come in and put in more security parameters for us.
Well, I'm so glad, because I was very distressed there for a couple of days. I tried to get on your website and couldn't. But basically, ladies and gentlemen, this is really real. I talked to Buck's wife, and she told me about it. I tried a number of times to get on the website. So it's up and operating now, and certainly, but there was a real attack on them. And they, as his wife said, you know, if it wasn't for the people from Radio Liberty, we wouldn't even be here now. Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Buck Keeley, a master gardener. And give us a call if you have a question or comment.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self, being free of diseases real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Buck Keeley. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And people need to understand when to fertilize, how to fertilize, how to build the soil, because that, of course, is what is going to give you the good fruit. And, of course, when we say fruit, we're talking about really vegetables here. We're talking about growing vegetable gardens. What about fruit trees? Is there any trick at all as far as fruit trees are concerned?
Well, fruit trees, you know, depending on what region of the country, and you want to be very careful to grow trees that are indigenous to your area, that we always want to push the envelope and grow plants that are uncommon to our area, but you run a risk of having a tree that doesn't produce well or not at all. But the key to a good fruit tree is good pruning. That you need to keep your tree pruned up. You need to keep your tree dressed properly so that you don't have unnecessary drain on the tree with branches that are not producing fruit or providing adequate fall foliage. So in the fall time, early springtime, late winter, make sure you prune your trees up and they're properly ready for the coming year. Second thing is water. That a fruit tree, all trees, but particularly a fruit tree, needs an inch of water a week as long as they're producing foliage. And so you need to make sure that your trees are getting adequate water. If you're not, you're going to get gnarly fruit that is not going to be desirable. And if it's a young tree, if you're not giving it an inch of water a week, you're going to get a tree that doesn't survive, or if it does, it's going to be diseased or have great difficulty. So along with keeping your trees properly pruned, make sure you have adequate water. And then if you're going to fertilize your trees, use slow-acting fertilizers. Tree spikes are a good way to do that. Or if you're using natural fertilizers like we do, PVC pipe in the ground that's perforated, and we pour our fertilizer down to that by the root of the tree, and then put water on top of that when we water it, and it gives it a shot of fertilizer to the root. So the two most important is the pruning, the water, and the third would be the fertilization.
Well, now, basically, of course, there are a lot of products out here that for fertilizer, the liquid, actually, fertilizers, and you put them on certainly a hose, you know, and it's got this little gadget on the end. You flip the switch around, and they claim that you can fertilize with this liquid fertilizer. Is that a good way to go, or are we really better to stick with the, with the old-fashioned, certainly granular fertilizer?
Well, as we discussed a little earlier, that remember, if you're using liquid fertilizer, it's immediate and fast. It goes away as soon as you put it down, so it's not going to be long-lasting. And there's a place for liquid fertilization, and that is during production time on high-producing tree fruits, vegetables, such as squash and tomatoes and peppers. And so there's a place to give that a little boost during the best of its production. But you're going to have a far better and longer-term solution fertilizing by using dry fertilization. And so using a combination of both is great. Don't depend only on liquid fertilization, because you're going to create crack addicts with your plants where they have to have it all the time to flourish, rather than having a steady source of nutrients through the fertilizer in a slow-release fashion.
All right, so basically then you really refer the granular fertilizer to the liquid fertilizer.
Yeah, that I use the dry fertilizer for most of my needs. And like I said, when I have my tomato plants and pepper plants that are really producing and I'm trying to get as much production out of that plant as I can, I put down the liquid fertilizer in the form of the rabbit poo or the bunny poo and worm poo to the roots, and it gives it an instant shot of more nutrients. But I still use the dry fertilizer every other week on it.
Now, what about certainly would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about your worm product? Because, of course, this really seems to be an excellent source of nutrition. What is this? Is this the excrement of the worms, and how do you get it?
The worm is God's best composter. That it takes organic matter, cardboard, newspapers, vegetable matter, household waste, it takes that and it breaks it down into a very fine particulate. It's a very fine compost. And then when you put that with water and a little bit of molasses, it creates an environment where microbials grow that break that down even further. The microbials are the last of the food chain for composting. And so you're taking that product and putting it to the microbials that's breaking it down to where it's small enough particulate that the roots could pick it up and put it directly into the plant. So worm poo is what we use for liquid fertilization on a regular basis, and that's what gives that plant that little extra boost.
And you actually produce that yourself?
Yes, we have like 750,000 worms around here.
Well, that's a lot of worms. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have any questions at all as far as or suddenly growing vegetables? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
That's either...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we had a call during the break from Judy in Santa Cruz, wanted to know about how you go about composting. So Buck was saying there are three types of composting. The first type would be necessarily if you were living in a community, lots of neighbors, you certainly would want to do this with a closed composting. Otherwise, I assume because of the odor because basically you're dealing with getting food to rot. So go ahead and pick up the story, Buck.
Yeah, there is, if you get your compost pile out of balance, there is a smell that comes. If you have too much nitrogen, it doesn't hurt your compost. It does put out an odor. And along with that, having it where it's not an eyesore, where people's looking in your backyard and seeing a pile of debris, and it's just to be kind to your neighbors. The second type of composting is a covered composting. If you have a little more property, it's where you go to the back of your property. You can put your compost there, and we'll discuss compost, what it is, in a minute, and put a tarp over it, a black plastic, and that'll actually raise the temperature up to about 140 degrees as it matures through the season. And then the third type of composting is what I do, is open composting, and it's just a big pile of organic matter I have on our property that I keep adding to all year long. And then I, at the wintertime, I allow it to be covered and mature through the winter, and I put it on in the summer. So the compost is as simple as this. It's 80% brown and 20% green. The perfect ratio is 80% brown and 20% green. So if you're composting around your house, 80% brown could be cardboard, newspapers, dried leaves, anything like that that is already started the process of being dead. the leaves falling off a tree or the tree being turned into a cardboard box. And by the way, do not worry about the ink on the boxes. That the vast majority of ink in America is soy-based, and it is not toxic. Brown paper stacks, newspapers, your junk mail, all that stuff can go in your compost pile, and if you shred it, even better. And then the 20% green is things like weeds that you weed out of your garden, grass clippings that you take off your yard, the plants that you pull out of your garden at the end of the production cycle. And you put that in a compost pile, either contained or covered or open, and you allow water by natural rainfall falling. If you got a dry season, water with a hose, and the moisture then starts the process of the decomposition of the organic matter. And the way that decomposes is that you have real living creatures that come from there and eat that. The host of good creatures in your garden that once you put that compost in your garden, they'll begin composting the soil in your garden. It'll attract worms, which is a good addition to your garden. So composting is the very basic building block of gardening. Depending on how much garden space you have and where you're located is how much compost you want to produce. We here at Seed Catalog do about 30 or 40 yards a year of compost that we put on our gardens and use that as a regular basis.
Okay, does that answer your question, Judy?
Well, that wasn't exactly my question.
Oh, what was the question?
Well, he had said there was a compost tea he made. It was like, I guess, liquid runoff that goes with water that you put on the plant?
Yes, that along with using the worm food tea, I use, it's not as potent as the worm food tea. It's not as refined as the worm food when I use it. But I'll take compost that's well composted, and I'll put it in a, we have containers that we use for making tea, but you don't have to have those. That you can take it, if you've got a pair of old nylons, take compost and put it in your nylon, tie the top of it up, and put that in a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up with water, and put some molasses in there. If you don't have molasses, put some brown sugar or sugar. Molasses is best. And then take that bucket and stir it two or three times a day over a 24-hour period. And what you've done is you've created a compost tea that has brought in the microbials out of that compost. And if you put go ahead.
Judy, are you there? I think we lost Judy. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Judy, are you there? Well, go right ahead, Buck.
Okay,
I guess we lost Judy. I'm sorry if we did. Maybe she'll call back in again.
Well, if she can still hear, that once you do that, you have a compost tea. And what you're doing with the tea is you're extracting out of that the very fine particulates. You're straining them out with the strainer you're using with a nylon. And then you put those directly in your plants, and it's instant nutrients for the plants, and it works very well. I use that in my greenhouse for fertilizing the plants during the growing season in the greenhouse before we put them to market or in the garden. And it's a lighter version of the worm food, and it's what those young plants need. In the garden, I use the worm food because it has more nutrients in it, and it's a bigger boost for the plants.
Okay, fine. What if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Buck Keeley? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Judy, did you ever come back? I guess we lost Judy. So one more time, Buck, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your organization. And I just incidentally got a supply of seeds from you yesterday. We got the fertilizer, and so we've actually already planted a number of our boxes, and they didn't come up at all. The ones in the greenhouse came up fine, but those we had outside just didn't. So we're going to try your seeds and hope they'll do better than the ones I got at the big market. So we're looking forward to that. We've got Judy back again. So, hi, Judy. I'm sorry. I don't know how we got cut off there.
I don't know either.
Did you get the information on how to make the compost tea?
I did. I was very interested in that. I had another question because I live in Santa Cruz. I have access to a lot of fish scraps from fishermen, and I was wondering about making a fish emulsion because I noticed they use it up at UCSD at their organic garden.
That is a prized ingredient to every gardener. I wished I had a supply. We have a local business coming in that's going to raise tilapia in the full cycle tilapia business, and I'm hoping to get some of their waste. That fish fish emulsions are as good as it gets. Now, if you're making your own, it's not a pleasant process and it has an odor.
No, that's okay. I'm used to that kind of stuff. My dad was a fisherman, and I was surrounded by fish guts all
yeah.
over the place.
Yeah, that is the gold standard next to worm poo for growers. And so if you've got a steady supply of that, if you want to be a little more refined, you could dehydrate that, pick a couple of real hot days in a place where nobody can smell it, and lay it out on some newspaper, and let it dry out, and then take the newspaper and that fish together and pulverize it. You could do it by cutting it up and put it in an old blender or whatever you need to do to break it down into smaller particulates, and then put that inside of your screen, whether it's a pantyhose or whether it's an official screen, and do the same thing. Put a little molasses in it and keep it agitated. Mm. If you don't agitate it, the microbials will drown. They have to have oxygen. And
so how often do you have to agitate it?
Two or three times during the day.
And yeah, so you don't have to continuously agitate.
No. We have pumps here that we aerate our tea with all the time. But if you two or three times during the day, we'll stir a 5-gallon bucket and use it the next day, or you know whatever portions you're using, it'll be fine. We keep ours long term, and so we keep aerators in ours. But if you just shake it up or stir it up two or three times during a 24-hour cycle, you'll be good.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you use all the guts and all the trimming shit?
Everything.
Everything in there?
Everything, including the airbag.
Okay.
Well, get anything else, Jody?
That is fabulous. I am so excited to know what I can do with the parts that I can't use for other things.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you. Basically, thank you so much for calling, and we'll have Buck on again here next month.
Okay, thanks again.
Okay, God bless. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Again, our numbers 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America or wherever you are and you have a question about growing, about suddenly all the things that plague you in the garden, Barbara, do you have a question or comment again?
Yes, I do. We just got a supply of seeds from Buck, and I noticed that in there was a package of seeds of the Bloomingdale spinach.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was under the impression that this would grow primarily during the winter months.
Bloomingdale is a slow-bolting spinach, and as long as you keep it, it loves the cool weather. And where you're at, ideally you're going to plant that in the cool time. But if you're late getting it in, if you put it on the shaded side of the building where it's not getting direct sun, it'll take longer till it bolts.
Okay.
But most of your greens, just so the folks know, most of your greens, your lettuces, your spinaches, your radishes, those kind of things are cool weather plants. And once it gets warm, if you plant radishes in the middle of the summer, they'll grow up and make foliage and bolt. They will not put on a radish. And the same thing with your spinach. As it gets warmer, it'll bolt. And one of the ways you can keep it from bolting so fast is keeping it ticked back. But you can plant it as long as it is cool enough and you don't have direct sun on it. You'll get some spinach out of it.
Yeah, because we have some areas that gets a certain amount of sunlight, but it doesn't always get really that warm. And I have used planted before in the wintertime and done it. Didn't get a chance to do it this year. And I saw that and I went, oh, boy. I was wondering if I could plant it in a kind of like a semi-shady.
Yeah, as much shade as you can get. It takes very little sunlight for the cool weather plant.
Right.
And you will get spinach. If you keep it picked back, you'll get more. But if you let it grow, once it senses that it's hitting the warm season and it's got maturity, it'll bolt and it'll not produce any more leaves.
Okay. Well, we don't get, it doesn't get too warm here. Actually, for most of the time. So
well,
I think we're going to give it a try during the summer because that is the best spinach in the world.
You got to love it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You bet, Barbara.
Okay, bye.
Okay, fine. Well, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Would you like to tell our listeners? I know we got the 15 or 20 different types of seeds. Well, basically, what are the sets of seeds that you offer people for various types of gardens?
Well, we had one of your listeners who bought some seeds from us and asked this question. What's the difference between me buying my seeds and putting it in a jar and storing it in a cool place or buying a seed bank? And one of the things we do sell is seed banks. And the answer to that question is the difference in time of storage. that when we put together a seed bank, your seed is sealed in a Mylar bag, which seals out light, moisture, and insects. And then it's placed inside a triwall PVC pipe that's sealed, which protects it again from light, insects, and moisture. And that environment that it's in can't be broken. You can run over it with a car and it bends and it pops back up. If you put them in a jar, they're not sealed completely. Even if you use a mason jar, they're still, unless you pressure cook those seals, there's still water that can get through moisture and it will deteriorate. So survival is about 20 years in a seed bank and a couple of 3 years if you properly store them at home. So one of the things we sell is seed banks, which allows for long-term storage for that just in case, that if you can't get seed anywhere else, you can have them for yourself, for your garden, and to barter with other people. And we also sell the value packs. We put together everything from a large backyard garden pack, which will plant a 50 by 100, to a small city garden or urban garden, which will be good for container growing. And these packs we put together are about 30% less than if you bought the seed packets individually. Obviously, because you're buying more seed, we can sell them at a lower price. And then we have our herb lovers pack and our pepper lover and tomato lovers packs, where we have all of our tomatoes and peppers and herbs packaged together and priced about 30% below single pack. And we also have the single packs about anything you want to buy, and encourage you to take time to do that. But I think everyone should be growing a garden today. And I think everyone should have seed for tomorrow's garden stored just in case. And to do that, you got to be gardening now. I mean, if the occasion comes that you need a garden tomorrow, it's too late to learn. So get some seed, start gardening now, get you a seed bank and store it for the future. And if you don't need it, if we're wrong on this thing, Dr. Stan, cut the thing open in 3 or 4 years to plant your seed. You haven't lost anything.
Okay, and basically, of course, why the seedcatalog.com, that's seedcatalog.com. We've got Charlie calling from Cincinnati. We'll be getting Charlie in just a moment. Our telephone number here, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to Buck. But once again, get your telephone number out, Buck.
Our toll-free number is 1-888-866-9132, 1-888-866-9132, or you can reach us on the World Wide Web at seedcatalog.com.
Well, Charlie, calling from Cincinnati. Charlie, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I had three, actually. I'll go quickly. Excellent program, by the way. Is it too late to start tomato and pepper seeds from scratch, from seeds?
When is your last known frost date, you know, Charlie?
It's around the middle of May in Cincinnati.
Around the middle of the May. That count 6 weeks back. You're about 2 weeks late, but you can still do that, and the plants will have a head start. That I would put them in right away. And then even though that you're going to be a couple of weeks behind, it's going to be better than trying to sow them. You won't get any fruit at all if you sow them in the ground. So I'd get them started now.
But basically, don't they have to actually get them started in the house now at this point?
Yes, they need to be started in seeding soil now, and then moving them into potting soil. That typically 6 weeks before your last frost date, Charlie, for tomatoes, and 8 weeks for your peppers is the ideal starting time. Mm-hmm. But if you're a little late, it won't hurt anything. You'll still have good, healthy plants you can put out.
Oh, okay. The other quick question, is it okay, or do you recommend organic seeds? That's the second question.
I recommend an heirloom seed. And by nature, those are going to be organic because they're open pollinated. They're not grown in a laboratory. I would not plant, nor would I sell any other seed that was not an heirloom seed.
Uh-huh.
And the certified organic label could be placed on GMO seeds. So make sure you look for an heirloom seed.
Oh, okay.
Charlie, if you look and see the difference between, say, organic grains, between GMO grains and regular grain, the traditional grain, basically they've taken so much of the nutrition out of the GMO foods, and there are all sorts of complications with those. They do have an impact on the health of the individual, and that's, of course, unfortunately, why they've simply almost all of our corn and all of our soy and all of our canola and all of our cottonseed oil, they all are organically modified, genetically modified, and they're not healthy for us. They're poisonous. With the genetically modified food, they're outlawed over in Europe, So why are they all right to use here? Go ahead, Charlie. I have another question.
This is the last one. I appreciate all you guys' answers. Are most seeds that you buy at all the box stores, are they mostly GMO, including the flowers the vegetables and fruits?
They're not GMO. They're mostly hyper-hybrid. And what that means is they can't reproduce themselves, and they have characteristics bred into them that's placed for longevity, for shipping, and for color. So the seed you buy that you buy at the big box store, unless they say heirloom seeds on them, it's going to be a seed that's been modified to produce a particular characteristic, and it will not reproduce itself.
But that's okay then, right?
No, that's not good.
No, I would not plant a hybrid seed.
Okay. I see. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.
Fine. Thanks for calling, Charlie. And our guest this evening has been Buck Keeley, a master gardener at seedcatalog.com. Seedcatalog.com, great website. All sorts of information there that you will want to know if you're going to serious about wanting to be able to feed yourself and your family.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self, being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so they were just talking about the way things used to be. And when I was growing up, why my mother used to can certainly all sorts of fruits and vegetables, and we ate them all year round. And basically, she'd go to the store all the time. But we had the things that we got and we canned and prepared, and we had much healthier life than we have today. Well, basically, we are on the edge of a precipice. If you are reading about North Korea, you're not hearing mention of the fact that they have an electromagnetic pulse bomb, a nuclear bomb. And if you get the material put out by Peter Pry, basically we have a CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. One of the guests is Peter Pry. He was on the Congressional EMP Commission. He was on staff on that commission. And when you read the material he has put out, you can get it off the internet, articles he's written for the Washington Times by Peter Pry, P-R-Y. He will tell you the North Koreans have an EMP weapon. And I'm sure they probably got it from Communist China. It doesn't matter where they got it. They have actually can put a 200-pound bomb on the top of an intercontinental ballistic missile, which they have already done. And basically, they don't have to worry about coming back in the atmosphere because it doesn't explode. In the atmosphere, it explodes in the stratosphere. And one bomb over the center part of the United States, maybe over Omaha, Nebraska, would wipe out the entire electronic grid of our country and destroy the infrastructure. Are they going to do that? I don't know. But certainly, I think we should understand there's a very real threat, and the fact that it's being totally played down and ignored by the establishment. I don't know whether this is God's will and God's going to bring judgment on America. Could it all be just simply bluster? Well, I'm not willing, of course, to gamble on that. I want people to be prepared. You need to get our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. Our 4-CD, our DVD on the threat of an EMP attack, the talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper, who I've known for many years. He was the American delegate to the disarmament negotiations with the Soviets for almost 10 years during the Reagan and the Bush administrations. That's the threat of an EMP attack by Ambassador Henry Cooper, Michael Maloof's book, A Nation Forsaken. We have the 2004 Congressional Commission report. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you listen to these and certainly read the reports in the book, and there's other books out there. There's an excellent book called One Second After, which tells theoretically what would happen with an EMP attack. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not nice. And the thing is that the people who've studied this know it isn't nice. And we have intentionally and purposely arranged so we have absolutely no defense against it. We could have taken care of this 12, 15 years ago. We did not. It wouldn't have been that expensive. We have no defense, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't make sense unless, well, if somebody wants to destroy America or God is going to bring his vengeance upon this country. And certainly, as I reflect, that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. I'm terrified at that prospect, ladies and gentlemen, because the wonderful utopian world we live in could literally disappear within just a few days after an EMP attack. And this wonderful world we have dependent upon electricity would not be here. You need to get the CD, you need to get the DVD, you need to get the book. 1-800-544-8927. And then you need to stand on the street corner and start yelling and screaming and try to get people to begin to understand what's going on. For whatever reason, our leaders are betraying us. I've read all the articles in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and they never mention the danger of an EMP attack. And yet that is the greatest threat that we face today. And the question is, why? Why don't they mention it? Certainly, why doesn't John Kerry, a member of the Trilateral Commission, mention it? Why have the Trilateral Commission controlled both political parties, and between 1977 and 2008, every president and or vice president came from that organization? Why aren't they trying to protect America? Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Look at the logo. Maybe you'll understand. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
from the mouth.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And of course, this next hour, our guest is Andrew Mangione. Andrew Mangione and Mangione. And basically, we're going to be talking about Social Security. We're going to be talking about the financial problems our nation faces today and the fact that basically Social Security was a wonderful idea when it came out in 1936. And what's wrong with helping people? And of course, at that time, the average person died at 65 years of age. So if you live to be 65, well, you could get a pension from the government for the rest of your life. If you're one of the people who lived, the trouble is that today, why, of course, the average person lives to be 84 years of age. Women live longer than men. We have over 55 million people on Social Security today. We have another 78 million Americans retiring, starting 2 years ago and retiring right now. We have certainly the baby boomers retiring, and there's no money in the Social Security system. There is no money in the Social Security system. Oh, they're government bonds, but the government doesn't have any money. And that's why the Federal Reserve System has to buy almost $45 billion worth of government bonds every single month so that the government will have money to put out for the Social Security checks and Medicare checks and food stamp checks. And the government doesn't have any money, and unfortunately, we're in real trouble. Andrew, you pick up the story.
Hey, thanks for having me. You are absolutely right with regard to Social Security. This is top of mind for AMAC members. As you know, we are a senior advocacy group. We're a member benefits organization for those 50 plus, and they're very, very concerned with the solvency of Social Security. As you mentioned before, Social Security started with the most honorable of intentions. It was created in the 1930s, and the life expectancy was age 65. People now, through the miracle of medicine and science, are living about on average 20 additional years, and the system has to pay out for another 20 years. So something has to be done to ensure the solvency of Social Security. And we have an idea at AMAC to make Social Security solvent for the next 80 years. We have four basic components to our plan to this prototype to keep Social Security solvent. And I think it's prudent to mention right off the bat that our ideas are not intended to replace or privatize Social Security. Our members do not want that. And if you talk to any person who is nearing retirement age, they don't want Social Security privatized either. So the first point is to keep Social Security, keep it basically the same in terms of retirement formulas, same tax rate, same basic benefit. There's 4 points to this. Our second point is to guarantee a minimum cost of living adjustment for those who are lower income. And the whole idea with this is to, in 2009 and 2010, every beneficiary of Social Security did not receive a cost of living adjustment. So those living on a fixed income and receiving Social Security saw prices of gasoline, prices of groceries rise, yet they had no increase to compensate for that in their Social Security. So what we're suggesting is that there's a guaranteed minimum 1.65% cost of living adjustment for lower income beneficiaries. And the federal government would determine the income threshold. But the key here is to make sure that there's absolutely no cut in benefits and to guarantee an increase in their Social Security benefits for those who are most vulnerable in terms of income. We use the 1.65% for the cost of living adjustment. We want to assure that lower wage earners are protected from financial harm and that there's guaranteed increases each year regardless of the cost of living.
What about for people who have paid into Medicare all of their lives, but they have other sources of income? Maybe they have another pension besides Social Security. What about them? Would they suddenly get the would they be punished by not getting the cost of living adjustments? Our guest is Andrew Mangione. We're going to be talking about Social Security and what needs to be done. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Andrew, you go right ahead.
Okay. You asked me if those who have a higher income, and keep in mind that what we're suggesting is that the federal government determine the income threshold for those who are lower income and those versus higher income. Depending on how the economy is doing, those who have a higher income and are receiving Social Security benefits could possibly not receive a cost of living adjustment. They'll still receive their benefits, though. And keep in mind that we're talking about solvency. We're talking about making Social Security solvency. And these are ideas. The whole purpose for AMAC's ideas to keep Social Security solvent is to get people talking. Our members don't care who gets credit for fixing Social Security. They just want it fixed. And the ideas that I'm talking about are meant to serve as points of discussion to begin a dialogue on both sides of the aisle that will lead ultimately to a bill that makes Social Security solvent. So our legislators, when we're proposing this to them, they can debate this. They can put in what they like. They can take out what they don't like. We want them to get both sides talking, kind of remove the politics, and move toward a solution. So that was our second point, was to guarantee a minimum 1.65% cost of living adjustment for lower-income beneficiaries. The third point was a setback of 3 years for new retirement. For new retirees. This will affect those who are age 58 or younger. So what we're suggesting is that early retirement changes from age 62 to 65. This will be phased in over 12 years so it doesn't shock the system. So someone who is currently today age 58 would start collecting at age 62 plus 3 months, someone who's 57 collects at age 62 plus 6 months, etc. The full benefit changes from age 66 to age 69 that's phased in over 12 years at 3 month increments.
All right, fine. Now, was there a fourth?
Yes, sir. What we are suggesting, fourthly, is to add, and this is where the private sector comes in. Now, keep in mind, I didn't say privatization. We want to add a private sector component to Social Security in the form of a Social Security IRA. This is added as an additional voluntary benefit. All right, so somebody that does not like the age setback that we're proposing for Social Security, they would argue saying, how can I retire early if my benefits don't start till I'm 68 or 69? The Social Security provides additional funds for the retirement for all workers. Now, I have to keep this in mind. The average person receiving retirement benefits collects slightly more than $13,000 a year, and the majority of retired workers rely on Social Security as the largest portion of their retirement income.
Hold that thought.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Andrew simply is pointing out what everybody should understand is that Social Security is bankrupt today. The legislature has stolen all the money from Social Security and spent it. So basically, of course, the money coming in certainly is not sufficient to match the money going out in the Social Security system, and that's why the Federal Reserve System is having to lend about $45 billion every single month to the Treasury Department so they'll have enough money to pay their Social Security and Medicare bills. Now, basically, of course, the organization that Andrew is working with has come up with a program, and certainly part of this is to limit the increases, cost of living increases to people who are well-to-do. It is basically to increase the age of retirement. People can retire at 62 now. They want to increase it to 65. Certainly, they want to have a IRA, a supplement IRA associated with this for people who want to get that. And basically, are you getting support for your suggestions?
Yes, we are. We're presenting these ideas to legislators on both sides of the aisle here in Washington. Senators, congressmen, we presented these ideas to the chief economist on the financial committees in both the Democrat and the Republican side. We've taken this to some big labor organizations, to small businesses, and people
are they signing off on it completely? They're agreeing with two or three points, sometimes 1 point, 2 point, but we're getting traction. People may like the Social Security IRA, and I'd like to elaborate a little bit more on that if I could, but they may not like the age setback. And as I mentioned before, the whole idea behind this prototype plan is to get congressmen on both sides of the aisle and senators to have a dialogue, an honest and open dialogue about making Social Security solvent for today and for future generations. When I was talking about the Social Security IRA, I want to stress that this will serve as a mechanism for people to save more money. This is not going to replace a 401k or a pension. It's voluntary for both employee and employer. There's no mandate here. What the employer has to do is provide a payroll slot, because the Social Security IRA will be deducted by a payroll deduction, and the employer can offer the contribution slot to full or part-time employees. So when you're just beginning in your career, this thing will be portable. You will take it with you throughout your career. After the Social Security becomes available, the employer offers it to all employees who want to opt in. The minimum weekly contribution to your Social Security IRA is $5, and the maximum is $100, or $5,200 a year. As we're suggesting, the employer may elect to contribute to an employee Social Security IRA in any amount that they choose. Again, they're not mandated. This is portable. If the wage earner changes jobs, the new employer must add a payroll contribution slot for the Social Security IRA. And this is only available to the wage earner at age 62. So at age 62, they can begin drawing from their Social Security IRA, or they could use it as or if they become disabled totally, or if they die. If they die, then the Social Security IRA becomes a death benefit. So the benefit and the IRA earnings are tax deferred, and the contribution is indexed for inflation. For example, if somebody wants to contribute $5 a week, that's raised to $5.15 if there's 3% inflation, et cetera. So keep in mind, this I mentioned when we first started talking about the Social Security IRA, that this is a private sector component to our overall ideas in making Social Security solvent. We'll have private sector companies provide very low-risk investments for this. Now, the oversight will come from the federal government. They'll be able to choose which private sector organizations. There'll be a type of risk, low-risk investment. There's not going to be any gambling with people's money. So.
Well, maybe they're going to put it into government bonds like Social Security Administration did, and then they spent all the money and there was nothing there. And basically now Social Security is bankrupt because the politicians stole the money. How can we ever trust them with the IRA?
No, well, they'll oversee because the investing will be done by the private sector. Okay, a 25-year-old wage earner started contributing $15 a week. He would have accumulated $165,000 by age 62, which will allow him to. And if it's Social Security benefits don't kick in until age 67 or 68, he can retire early. If the same wage earner started contributing $45 a week, he would have accumulated over $350,000 by age 62. That's when he can start drawing it. And if he wants to retire early, he can, even if his Social Security benefits don't start until he's age 68 or 69. The whole idea is to allow people the opportunity to retire early, earn early, give them a savings mechanism that's portable throughout their entire career, and it's voluntary. Nobody's mandated to participate, not you or the employee. And when I mentioned the employer, that would be with regard to a contribution. This has been met with on Capitol Hill. This has been very, very well received. People on both sides of the aisle like the Social Security IRA. They like the fact that it's a savings mechanism. They like the fact that it's not mandatory, but it's voluntary. But they like the fact that people will save more money. Because I mentioned before, people are living on average 13 a year when they retire, and the majority of these funds are coming from Social Security, and that's not what it was created for. It was created to be a supplement. So the Social Security IRA will serve as a savings mechanism in addition to any 401k pension that people may have access to.
Well, basically, of course, what happens is we have more and more elderly retiring. The so-called baby boom generation is retiring now. And as I recall, it was something like 78 million people are going to retire over a period of 20 years. And basically, they certainly already, and it's been going on for about 2 or 3 years now, and this is really putting tremendous pressure on the resources of the federal government to be able to provide Social Security and Medicare benefits for all of these 78 million people retiring, baby boomers, you correct me if I'm wrong. But basically this, I believe, is one reason why the Obama administration wants to bring in Obamacare, because, of course, they're going to be able to regulate certainly what health care benefits people over 85 are going to get. And basically they're even talking about being able to limit the access to health care for some of the elderly. Is anybody concerned about that? The Obama administration is talking about the necessity of having government bureaucrats determine whether people over, say, 85 can get health care benefits?
Well, there's a lot of concern from AMAC members with regard to health care. And about 10,000 people a day in the United States turn 65, and that's called aging into Medicare. Medicare is a quite different animal. Social Security can be fixed relatively easy by actuaries if you take the politics out of it, and that's a big if. I recognize that. Medicare is quite different. It's very complex. And our members are very concerned. AMAC members are very concerned about health care, particularly cuts to Medicare. Our 40% of our people still work. 40% of our members, of AMAC members, are still working. So they're nearing retirement age. So that leaves another 60% of AMAC members that are using Medicare. And nobody, whether they're working or whether they're retired, wants to see any cuts to Medicare at all. And folks are concerned about Obamacare and its cuts. And cuts to Medicare are already the law of the land. Over $700 billion will be cut over the next 10 years from Medicare due to Obamacare to help fund it. And those cuts are going to come out of Medicare Advantage. And if you recall, Medicare Advantage is also known as Part C, and that's the private sector organizations like Humana and Aetna and United that are providing the federal benefits, the Medicare benefits, to Medicare beneficiaries. And these are private sector model programs that offer a lot of choice, offer a lot of their very full benefits, and they've been targeted by the administration under the Affordable Care Act for cuts. People are very concerned, particularly AMAC members are concerned, that the quality of care will go down, that benefits will be cut. There'll be less money. Physicians are concerned about less reimbursement. You're seeing physicians retire early because they don't want to deal with Obamacare and the cuts to Medicare. You're going to see less and less physicians accept Medicare. And the people that are very sick, those 85-year-olds that you mentioned, there's a strong concern about these independent patient advisory boards, these IPADs, that are the group of unelected bureaucrats that will decide care for the very, very sick. And I don't know who's going to oversee them, but you can't vote them out of office, and they're not necessarily medical professionals. So there's a lot of concern surrounding health care with our members, particularly with Medicare, and particularly with cuts to benefits, and that will equate to higher premiums and lower and less benefits, and ultimately lower quality of care.
Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. One of the things they're talking about, of course, is cutting back certainly on the compensation of the hospitals. Well, basically, of course, if they cut back on compensation to the hospitals, they're just going to have hospitals are going to have to raise the fees for the private health insurance companies, and of course, that's going to drive the cost of health care insurance right through the roof. And people don't really understand. Certainly, the Medicare system, this whole government system is patterned after that they have in Great Britain. In England today, they kill 125,000 elderly when they go to the hospital. They just put them on large doses of opiates, and they simply kill them. You can go up on the Internet and check this out. They simply type in, British medical care system kills 120,000 people a year, and there's no question, it's not denied. Well, a lot of the people in England will not go to the hospital because they know they'll never come out alive. And remember, of course, they're population is only about 50 million or 40 million here. Of course, we would have certainly many times that many, talking about well over a million people would be killed every year. Well, certainly, it would seem to me that a lot of people should be very, very concerned about this. Are your members actually, how many members do you have in your organization?
Well, we have over 630,000 members of AMAC in all 50 states. As I mentioned before, AMAC stands for the Association of Mature American Citizens, and we're an alternative to the AARP. We're 6 years old, and we're adding between 15,000 and 20,000 new members each month. We offer the same benefits as an AARP, but the biggest difference between AARP and AMAC is that we take our marching orders from our members. They set the agenda for us. We take their issues. They tell us what concerns them, and we take those issues to Washington as opposed to being top-down and setting the agenda for our members like AARP does. AMAC is very member-driven, and those 4 points that I discussed regarding the Social Security prototype plan, they were all run by our members because we talk to them. We poll our members on a weekly basis. We speak with them. They tell us what concerns them. And they set our agenda, that agenda that we take to Washington. We don't make a move without our members. We're growing quickly. We're very, very, through the generosity of hosts like yourself, we're very pleased to be here to get the word out about AMAC. And if anyone's interested in joining AMAC or learning more about us, they can visit us at AMAC, that's www.amac.us, or they could call 888-262-2006 and speak with one of our member services representative to learn more about AMAC or to join us.
Well, Sydney, I'm amazed that you're growing at that rate. And Sydney, I'm sure a lot of people are very, very disillusioned with AARP. I know I certainly am. I'm a senior citizen, and I wouldn't consider joining AARP.
Well, you know, AARP started out with the most honorable of intentions. And all anybody has to do is Google AARP and Obamacare. And there's a 70-page document that's out there floating on the Internet that is the actual copy and transcription of the email chain that occurred between the Obama administration and AARP leadership during the Affordable Care Act debate. And one of the first emails states, and this is from AARP leadership, that was saying that AARP members were calling in to AARP headquarters 14-1 opposing Obamacare. That's 14-1 opposing. And AARP went ahead and endorsed Obamacare anyway and betrayed their members. It's not the first time that they have been an arm or an extension of the Democratic National Committee. They run around and they tell folks that they represent every single American over age 50. And quite frankly, they do not. And for years, there was not an alternative, but now there is, and it's called AMAC.
All right, how long have you been around?
We've been around. We were born. AMAC was launched in the summer of 2007. We're in our sixth year, and we have a couple of offices. One is in Central Florida, right outside the Villages, and our business office is out of Long Island. We spend a great deal of time on Capitol Hill, letting folks know, when I mean folks, I mean legislators know who we are, who we represent, what our values are. We make no bones that we are right of center. We let folks know that we're a conservative alternative. Our mission is very simple. It's faith, family, and freedom. We support the Second Amendment. We're pro-life. We believe in the Constitution, and we're pretty much a small tax.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Andrew Mangione, and of course, he's telling us about AMAC. AMAC is an organization that's been around for some years. It's the conservative alternative to AARP, which backed Obamacare. Certainly, their members of the AARP opposed Obamacare 14-1, and yet AARP supports Obamacare. And certainly, with that, of course, you're going to be the death panels that are really going to determine who lives and who dies after a certain age. This is not imaginary, certainly. AARP, in my estimation, has always been a top-down organization run by socialists to control the elderly. AMAC claims to be a conservative-based counterpart to that, and basically because that they have certainly millions of members across America. They're growing and growing fairly rapidly. And certainly, once again, do you want to get your telephone number out, more information on AMAC?
It's 888-262-2006. That's a free call, 888-262-2006. If you want to learn more or join AMAC, if you want to go online, you can join online at www.amac, that's AMAC.us, and you can learn about that. Take you right to our website, and you can join AMAC online.
All right, basically, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Social Security is bankrupt, and basically it could have, of course, have worked, but, of course, the government stole all of the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. They invested in government bonds, and the government doesn't have any money. That's why, of course, the Federal Reserve is having to borrow $45 billion worth of Treasury bills every month, and that's only part of it. I'm sure they funnel money to other central banks throughout the world. The Federal Reserve is buying up 70 to 80% of all the Treasury bills that are being sold now. And if they weren't doing that, there wouldn't be any money for your Social Security check. In the process, they're expanding massively the money supply and destroying the value of our currency. And we're heading into real problems. And it's not only Social Security that's bankrupt. Medicare is bankrupt. And certainly there's no money for the food stamps. So they simply create the money out of nothing. And we're on a one-way path towards the destruction of the economy of our nation. No nation has ever simply expanded its money supply without restriction and survived. And this is where we face today. And if this should actually collapse, what would happen to the elderly? What would happen to them as far as their health care? What would happen to them as far as their Social Security? And almost half the people, 56% of the people, my understanding, who are retired depend primarily on Social Security for their income. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you're out there. And you have a question or comment for our guest, Andrew Maggioni, who certainly works with AMAC, and trying to get this information out. Basically, people have to understand that there has to be an alternative to Social Security. I wish they'd never had it. But we have it, and certainly, what's going to happen to all those people who are so dependent upon it today? What figures do you hear about the number of people who are totally dependent upon Social Security, Andrew? Is that 56% out of bounds, do you think?
No, I think it's probably more than 56% that depends solely on Social Security. It's probably a lot more than 56%. We average that people, the average income for retirees is $13,000, and the vast majority of that $13,000 annually comes from their Social Security benefits. So I would argue that it's probably much higher than 56%.
Well, whatever it is, certainly, I wish we didn't have it, but we have to do the best we can with this system, if we possibly can get it to survive. And I think that the suggestions that are being made as far as extending certainly the retirement age, have you thought about extending the retirement age as well? Certainly not only from 62 to 65, but what about even over 65? Is this being considered?
Absolutely. This is the setback of 3 years for new retirees, okay? So in our proposal, we're suggesting that early retirement changes from age 62 to 65 that's phased in over 12 years, and full benefits change from age 66 to age 69 also phased in over 12 years so as not to shock the system. That will help pay for those cost of living adjustments. And if you add in the Social Security IRA, that is a savings mechanism, that's a voluntary savings mechanism. Somebody who starts putting money into it in their 20s, minimally, will be able to retire when they're 62 years old because they'll have a bucket of cash that will bridge that gap between when they want to retire early and when their Social Security benefits kick in.
And ladies and gentlemen, basically we have to do something. We don't, none of these solutions are good, but this sounds really what we have to do. or this whole cast house of cards is going to come tumbling down. We've got to extend the age, certainly. We've got to cut back on Social Security disability. We have almost 9 million people on Social Security disability, in addition to those on Social Security. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. This is a very important issue. Give us a call.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we have Lorene calling us from Litchfield, New York. Lorene, is that suddenly upstate New York by Rochester?
No, it's by Ilion, New York.
I see. Now, how are you hearing us then? Are you hearing us on the internet? How are you hearing us?
101.9 FM.
Okay, fine. That's probably
out of WJIV out of Cherry Valley.
Okay, very good. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I you were talking about what they're doing to our elderly, and I'm going through a thing with my mother right now. She's 87. The nursing home pressured my siblings to put her in the nursing home a few years before she needed to, because they told her they wouldn't take her if her private money had run out. They would only take her when she could be self-pay, and the self-pay is over $8,000 a month. And now that she's coming close, that they've applied, the doctor was going to give her nutritional things and an IV, but I think when they realized she was a DNR, insurance doesn't want to pay for anything, so they sent her back. And as soon as her antibiotic is finished, and the antibiotic's ruining her, and then on top of it, the morphine shuts down your digestive system. And so they said as soon as the antibiotic is finished, they're taking her off of the IV, and once there's no food and water coming in, then the morphine really does you in.
Basically, Andrew, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am a physician, and I practiced medicine I graduated from medical school over 60 years ago, and I will tell you they're doing this here in California today in some of our custodial care systems, and they're putting people into hospice who are not terminal at all, but they're terminal. They never get out. They are actually killing them with morphine today. They know exactly what they're doing. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's a little embarrassing. But
and they get very angry, upset with me when I try to say anything about it.
But you go ahead and say it, and you scream it from the hills. Lorene, basically, I do 5 hours of talk radio every day, trying to let people to understand what's going on. And I share your concern. And if there's any way you get your mother out of there, you've got to get her out, they're going to kill her. That's just that simple.
Well, my brother has power of attorney, and he overrides me.
Well, then you tell him he is responsible for killing your mother. Is there money at
stake? I told him he had to stand before God, and he said, I have no problem standing before God.
Well, I'll tell you what. Is your mother's money exhausted?
Well, it's almost, but he has control of it. I don't.
All right, fine. Well, that's probably what a lot of it's all about. Basically, is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go, Lorene?
Well, I just want to say that everybody gets angry at Hitler, but at least he was honest about his euthanasia. And here in our country, we sugarcoat it and say, oh, we're just making them comfortable.
You're absolutely right. It's going on all across America today, and nobody has the courage to speak up. Hospice for somebody who is not terminal with cancer, I said they is criminal. And yet it's being accepted by organized medicine because it's easier to go along and get along than to take a stand for righteousness. God bless you, Lorene.
Thank you.
God bless. Anything you'd like to say? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is certainly not in every hospital. There are hospitals here that are still compassionate, but I will tell you, there are hospitals where they're actually putting people into hospice and they're killing them right here in America today. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, you know, I'm heartbroken hearing Lorene's situation, but it sounds like her situation could be a precursor or a preview of what somebody who's subject to the Independent Patient Advisory Board, that is now the law of the land as a result of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare passing, might be subject to. A group of unelected bureaucrats deciding, you know, will the 85-year-old person get the hip replacement, or will we put them in a wheelchair and give them pain medications to keep them comfortable while they wait to die?
Maybe just a little morphine there, because they're much more comfortable with the morphine. They are using morphine on elderly people, knowing full well it's going to kill them, and they're doing it all across America today. And where is the outcry from our concerned AARP? Where is the outcry from our concerned doctors? Well, most doctors are afraid to speak out, and I will tell you, doctors are increasingly fearful, and they're going to have to speak out sooner or later, either now or in the afterlife. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we have to care for the very vulnerable, the most vulnerable in our society, and that's the very young, that's people who haven't been born yet, and people that have lived full lives and have raised families and contributed to society and have earned their retirement and have earned their old age. They're as vulnerable as an unborn baby. And we're obligated to take care of these folks. And what AMAC is doing is fighting for people who are age 50 plus to make sure they've got good health care, to make sure they've got a solvent Social Security that'll last not only for current retirees, but future retirees, children and grandchildren. And we're happy to do that. We do that every day in Washington.
Well, why don't you go ahead and get your telephone number out and your website out once again so people would know how to get in touch with AMAC.
Thank you, Dr. Chan. Be happy to. They can find AMAC at www.amac.us. You can learn all about us and join AMAC online. Or if you want to speak to somebody live, you can call 888-262-2006, 888-262-2006 to talk to a member services representative.
All right, fine. Well, now, are you actively involved in lobbying Congress or lobbying the Senate? Certainly, are you primarily centered in Washington, D.C., or are you certainly trying to contact the state legislatures as well?
I'm in Washington as we speak, Dr. Stan. We have a lobbyist in Washington that speaks out on our behalf. That lobbies Congress to let them know that who AMAC is, how big our membership is, let them know that there's an alternative. And I spend time here on both sides of the aisle speaking to legislators in Congress and in the Senate. And I will tell you the reaction that we've had since we've been coming to Washington, people are relieved that there is an alternative to AARP. They're relieved that they don't have to call AARP to testify at a committee or a subcommittee hearing. We have been approached over the past 2 months, Dr. Stan, by no less than 6 senatorial and congressional offices. They solicited AMAC support on specific bills that they brought to the floor of the House and the Senate. So our influence in Washington is growing. We are viewed as a vibrant, growing, the fastest growing alternative to AARP in the United States. And as I mentioned before, we're adding between 15,000 and 20,000 new members each month. And our growth is due in large part to being able to come on shows like yours, Dr. Stanley. We're very grateful to get the word out about AMAC.
And basically, once again, how many members? Do you have any idea how many members you have?
Currently, we have 630,000 AMAC members. And that number changes every month, and growing, I should say.
And I think it's vitally important. AARP, I've certainly followed this for many years. I never joined it because I believe it was established by the very enemies of freedom, and basically so to supposedly speak for the elderly, and it doesn't speak for the elderly. It's simply another socialist, left-wing, radical group, and it's not interested in representing certainly the rank-and-file elderly individual. It's interested in controlling them, as are so many groups. across America today. And I will tell you that certainly there are so many of the organizations out there, you know, pro-gun organizations, pro-life organizations, organizations that are dealing with all the social issues we have that are actually formed by our enemies, and they're not being effective. And I do not know too much about AMAC, but I'm going to make it a point to learn about it, and I hope it's as effective and good as Andrew has said, because, of course, we need somebody to speak for the people rather than to control the people like the unions do. The unions don't represent the workers. They control the workers, and they're routinely betraying them today. Well, certainly, my understanding is President Obama has come up with some suggestions of cutting back on Social Security benefits. Have you looked into that? What do you feel about his suggestions of beginning to cut back on Social Security benefits?
Not only will his budget that he's proposing cut Social Security benefits, it also increased taxes. So, I mean, people are going to be, you have to take a look at the specifics of his plan. And you're looking at a situation where his proposals will do more harm to Social Security than good. Benefits will be cut, and people's taxes will go up. And that's really a double whammy for retirees living on a fixed income.
Well, now, basically, how will their taxes go up for the elderly? I mean, is this going to be the income taxes going up? Are they going to be paying into Medicare or Social Security? How will their taxes be going up?
Well, what you're looking at, the president is proposing a chain-weighted consumer price index, or chain CPI. He's included this as part of his formal budget proposal. And the chain CPI is called a better measure of inflation, all right, than what the federal government is currently using. And it on paper, it would reduce entitlement spending and increase tax revenue by a combined $340 billion over 10 years. Now, think of what I just said. This chain CPI, the chain weighted consumer price index that's included in President Obama's budget, would reduce entitlement spending, and that's Social Security spending, that's Medicare spending, and increase tax revenue by a combined $340 billion over 10 years. So you're looking at a reduction in entitlement, that's cut in benefits, and an increase in taxes based on this mechanism that the president wants to use and include in his budget. The chain CPI is a better measure of inflation, okay, because instead of simply measuring the changing price of a fixed basket of goods, it recognizes that purchasing decisions change when prices change, all right? So if the price of apples falls, people will buy more apples and fewer pears, and vice versa, okay? But the Bureau of Labor Statistics states that the chain CPI is designed to be a closer approximation to a cost of living index than other CPI measures, all right? But it's not as simple as merely getting a more accurate measure of inflation. Social Security, and this is how it affects Social Security. In Social Security, this chain CPI would lower cost of living adjustments. All right? So once the chain CPI is fully implemented, lower cost of living adjustments would reduce the retiree's lifetime benefits by about 4%. All right, so that means the chain CPI will actually lower people's benefits, Social Security benefits, by 4%. All right, that equates to lower benefits for middle and high earners, and they should be part of the equation. All right, so what you've got here is the president is suggesting a fix to Social Security, or not a fix to Social Security, but a rate of inflation or a method of measuring inflation that ultimately reduces benefits and causes tax increases.
Well, basically, of course, they have a situation where they just that there are too many elderly people. There are too many elder people already retired, and then the baby boomers retiring. Oh, they've been retiring for a couple of years, and it's going to double, well over double, the number of people who are receiving this, so they've got to kill off a certain number of them. That's, of course, what hospice care is really all about. And the fact that nobody's talking about the fact that they're killing our elderly today in America, well, I'm sure that in Germany, they didn't talk about killing the Jews either. People didn't know what was really going on. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that they had programs like this in Hitler's Germany too, because it wasn't 66 million Jews who died. It was 12 million others. There's a book called Warrant for Genocide. And it starts out on the first page talking about, it's written by a Jewish scholar, about the 6 million Jews who were killed. And then casually mentions there were 12 million others. And I would point out that most are predominantly Christians. And they were slaughtered in Germany. But the average individual didn't have any idea what was going on. If you were elderly, if you certainly had a mental deficiency or a mental problem, they simply did away with you. And basically, there's no way in the world that they're going to be able to finance Social Security with all of the new people certainly retiring coming up in this next 18 years. Well, under the current circumstances, something dramatic has to be done. At least it sounds like AMAC has a program to begin with. If we've got to delay the time when people retire. Certainly that's one of the most important things, isn't it, Andrew?
Well, it's a component. And nothing but we believe that our prototype plan will make Social Security solvent for the next 80 years. Something fundamentally has to be changed with Social Security. But our members tell us they don't want to privatize, and we're not suggesting privatization. So we want to keep the same basic benefits and the same tax rate. We want to guarantee a cost of living adjustment that'll be paid for by delaying or having a 3-year age setback. And then if you incorporate a private sector savings mechanism like an IRA, a Social Security IRA, this will induce people to save money and allow them to retire early while they wait for the benefits to kick in. This is how we're presenting our ideas on Capitol Hill, and we're getting a lot of heads nodding. And what you know, we want is to generate a conversation, to have people consider some things that they may not have considered before, and have an open, honest, fair dialogue on making Social Security solvent.
Well, because nobody wants to give up benefits. The elderly don't want to give up benefits. But hey, we either simply modify what we have today or the whole thing collapses. And it would be far more merciful to actually cut back on benefits now and try to save the system. And then, of course, to allow it to go and eventually, with the baby boomers coming and certainly the inflation that's coming, the whole house of cards is coming down. Our guest to us is Andrew Maggioni from AMAC. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Andrew, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to let folks know that if they don't believe that AARP represents their interests, there's an alternative. And that alternative is the Association of Mature American Citizens, otherwise known as AMAC. We're a conservative alternative to AARP. Our mission is simple. We believe in faith, family, freedom, smaller government, responsible spending. We believe in the Constitution. We believe in protecting the Constitution. We believe in the Second Amendment. We're pro-life, among other things. We're the fastest growing alternative to AARP in the United States, with over 630,000 members in all 50 states in the United States. And if people were interested in learning more about AMAC, they can visit our website at amac.us or call 888-262-2006. We're adding between 15,000 and 20,000 new members each month, so we're experiencing tremendous growth. At AMAC members, our members are vibrant, they're informed, they are active, and they're politically active, and they're very passionate about being part of the solution, to be part of the solutions to the problems that face America.
Well, I think it's exciting to realize that there is an alternative to AARP. And I think that people really are going to have to be willing to take a stand and begin to face the reality that if we don't do something about Social Security, the whole thing is going to collapse. Would you agree with that, Andrew?
without question. We know this is going to happen. And Social Security is an easier fix than Medicare. It will get done eventually once the policy, once we have some leadership in Washington that actually wants to tackle the problem.
Well, I think everybody's afraid to tackle the problem. I think that certainly the Democrats certainly don't want to cut back. The unions are putting up tremendous pressure not to cut back, but certainly they have no other alternative. How are the Republicans going? Certainly, are they willing to go along with cutting back on Social Security benefits, knowing full well there's going to be a backlash to doing that?
No way. There's no way that any Republican I've talked to is interested in cutting any benefits. That's why they like our plan. Our plan, our ideas make no changes to any benefit of Social Security. What we do fundamentally tweak the program with regard to the age setback and the addition of a Social Security IRA and guaranteeing the cost of living adjustment for those who have the lowest income. I mean, it's a no-brainer. We've been told that it's been a no-brainer. And Republicans definitely do not want to see any cuts whatsoever to Social Security.
All right, we're out of time, Andrew. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. Great program.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed the program, but this is a very, very real social problem. And basically, I think we have 56 million people on Social Security as of about 2 years ago, and 78 million more retiring. And basically, there's no way the system's going to work. All the money's gone. The Federal Reserve System is buying $45 billion worth of bonds that they will admit to every month. I think they're probably giving money to other central banks to buy the bonds. But the Fed is actually buying 75% to 80% of all the Treasury bonds today. Why are they doing that? Why? Very simply, because if they didn't, the whole system would collapse. The Fed Treasury wouldn't be able to send out your Social Security checks and your Medicare checks and your food stamp checks and your Medicaid checks and all the other welfare programs, dozens of them that they have. But basically, so, ladies and gentlemen, socialism doesn't work. And we're going to have to certainly live with this legacy of socialism for a long time. At least we ought to try to preserve as much as we can for the elderly who are here today and give the younger people an opportunity to have their own retirement system. But for the elderly, we're stuck with it. I wish it weren't so, but I think we need certainly insightful ideas. So basically, of course, we have to understand that there really is a planned program to destroy America. And if you don't understand that, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, and on population control, the covert agenda. Now, we've done a lot on population control. Basically, the AIDS epidemic was a genetically conceived virus. It specifically targets the blacks, which is why almost, not quite, but almost half of everybody who's died in America of AIDS has been black, about 40%. How could that be? Very simply, it's genetically the targeted disease. And why doesn't anybody ever tell you that? Well, most of what's going on, they will never tell you here in America. They will never tell you. But basically, of course, when you fluoridate the drinking water, why, of course, 90% of the communities use hydrofluosilicic acid, which contains lead. And if you measure the lead level in our 4 tape sets on water fluoridation, you need to get my talks, and you need to get my talk. It's called The Fluoridation, the Hidden Agenda. Fluoridation, the Hidden Agenda. You need to get the syllabus that goes with that. You need to watch the talk on geoengineering, because you see they're poisoning the water and they're poisoning the air. And then you need to get certainly the talk on aspartame. It's a CD. Pardon me, it's a 4-CD set and a DVD on aspartame. They're poisoning the food. They're poisoning the water. They're poisoning the food. And they're poisoning the air, and few people care. They're poisoning the forest, they're poisoning the trees. They're even using insecticides that poison the bees. Our number 1-800-544-8927. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.
I'll be grateful for a land so fair. We raise our voice. from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with gold. God bless America, my heart beats
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2013. Another sad day for America. Another sad day when we see the cruelty that we can't even conceive of. The cruelty we cannot even imagine, but we must endure. We must watch this over and over again on television, as they want you to see over and over again the carnage that took place yesterday at the marathon, the Boston Marathon. If you haven't heard, and I can't imagine that you didn't, but this is a tragic event that has taken the lives and changed the lives of hundreds of people. I don't know about you, but I found it very hard to sleep last night. I found it very hard to imagine.